from the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome to Leap Year 2020. My 29th day is added to February every 4 years because the Earth takes 365.25 days to orbit the sun, and we do not want it to get too out of whack. Back in my drinking days, I used February to do my annual dry run because it was the shortest month of the year, even if it was leap year, and I wanted to test out whether I was an alcoholic. Turns out I was, but not until many years later. It catches up to you. The first leap year to be put into play was back in 46 BC, under the orders of Julius Caesar, at the advice of an Alexandrian astronomer to slow down the Julian calendar. He would have been wiser to have stayed home on the Ides of March, considering what Brutus had in store for him that fateful day, but then again, few of us know when our grand exit is coming. One day you're alive and drinking gallons of red wine, and the next day it's tits up and lights out. We will not see another leap year until 2024, so drink up, be merry, and be careful going down the stairs until you have one of those acorn stair lifts that are constantly being pitched on Zoomer television and the two 24/7 news channels that faithfully watched by the geezer crowd. They have their demographics pegged. Back in high school, leap year allowed the girls to invite the boys to the Sadie Hawkins dance. A cute little number named Janice Richardson invited me, but years later married the son of the chief of the Brockville Police Department, which apparently didn't end well. I wasn't much of a catch either, grade 9, shy and unable to dance the waltz, until my good old Aunt Rayanne turned on the kitchen radio and taught me the basic box step that was a little too sophisticated for my date. All she wanted to do when the music was slow was put her arms around my neck and sway back and forth. Depending on the pelvic press, it was almost dirty dancing. Throat Door Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sports Staff 590, The Fan. I'm Angela Lyle, and that was Mark Bonikoski, legendary, legendary man. Behind the glass, Stephen Lamity. Derek Brandeo, I could just see him swinging. I don't know why I've got this image.
I could just see him go up on the air corn stay left.
That's true, too. And Andrew Holland on the board for The Fan. That music tells us time we take a little trip south. All the way down. Remember the... No, you don't remember. What am I talking to you for?
You never know. Remembering? I watch shows.
The Jolly Green Giant.
No.
No. Okay.
I know that from like the cans.
I could just see about a dozen folks out there. I just brought back memories of the Jolly Green Giant. anyways, we're heading south. Texas, to be precise. The Gulf Coast, where our vacationing... Oh, did I say vacation? I'm roving. Safety reporter... Bradley Schlorf is standing by. Good morning, Brad.
Look up. Look way up.
How you doing, buddy?
Him or Mr. Dress Up?
It was Mr. Dress Up, remember?
That was Rusty the Chicken.
Oh, no, Rusty the Chicken was there. Yeah, yeah, Rusty the Chicken. That's right, too. Yeah. You're right. You're right. There you go.
And what's...
How you been, bud?
I'm doing perfect. How about you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm all pumped. We got a great show today. Unbelievable show, actually. I don't know what happened. I think, Winters was away on vacation for a couple of weeks. So obviously whoever took over put together quite the lineup today. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I want to hear this part. I heard you saying about him in the news.
Did you hear? He sent me a note. I got a note here saying he's not going to give me any more news stories because obviously I don't appreciate his ability to sniff out a good story. And so he says no news today. And meanwhile, we had the biggest fisheries bust. We had the biggest fisheries bust that we've ever had in Alberta. 12,000 pounds of walleye were confiscated, and 80 charges were levied against 33 people. And he says there's no news.
And he took his marbles and went home all the way to Jamaica, the land of Red Stripe and Appleton.
That's right. You got her, buddy. Anyways, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Tell me, first of all, how's the fishing been?
The fishing's been pretty good. It's been windy down here, so that delays it, kind of steers us more towards the golf course when it's windy. And the golf's been good, too. I'm golfing and I'm fishing and not through a hole in the ice, so how can I complain?
Yeah, no kidding. Eh? Speaking of which, ice fishing is in full swing up here, as you probably know. And snowmobilers are finally smiling ear to ear. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I know we touched on it last week about the speed that these snowmobiles are hitting now. And in a lot of cases, especially night time when they're traveling across lakes, the speed far exceeds their ability to see and stop in time for any problems. I wanted to ask you, and we've talked about it on the program before. I mean, now they're hitting 120 miles per hour, for God's sakes. Is there a point where you think that somebody will have to step in and say, okay, that's enough, boys. You can't go any faster than that.
I doubt it. Because, you know, the same thing can be said about cars. You can buy a car that'll go like Mach 80, and it still means you can't. Motorcycles, and it would be interesting if some PhD student that likes to fish and hunt out there is listening to the show right now, they could do their thesis on what provides less protection to you, a motorcycle or a snowmobile. So, you know, there's a close parallel. Like, you can buy motorcycles that'll go so fast you can't see them going past you, and you do see that on the multi-lane highways. Usually something you almost lay down over the tank for some reason. But, you know, it's the little thing in the helmet up above that gas tank that controls how fast it's going.
You know what? You make perfectly good sense. And I'll be honest with you. Up until this very moment, I did not look at that parallel. But, yeah, snowmobiling and motorcycling is very similar. And a lot of parallels there. Motorcycling, of course, being even more dangerous because you're doing it in traffic. At least on a snowmobile, you know, you're on the ice or snow or wherever.
That's where the crack research department from Huntsville there needs to find some university student needs a thesis topic, and he could write up what's more dangerous, going a gazillion miles an hour on a snowmobile or a gazillion 15 miles an hour on a motorcycle. It's probably pretty close.
Yeah, but Brad, if he did that, he'd have to displace something else important, like, you know, the Cranberry Festival or the hummingbird migration. Like, there's a lot of other more important stories that we need to talk about on this program.
Where we are down here is really close to where the monarch butterflies go while you're on migrations. I mean, if we're going to just throw...
I knew you'd have something to hook up on that. March break is soon upon us, and you're in an area that gets just absolutely bombarded with March breakers. How are you? Are you hunkered down? Are you've got everything all packed up and boarded up and everything?
Everywhere where you go, you know, I can't think of a place that I've ever been where people don't have some special little piece of trivial information that they hang on, whether it's true or some kind of local legend or whatever, I don't know. But it's alleged, not just down here. You can go online and see this stuff. This is the second busiest beach area next to a spot in Florida for kids to come from the entire United States. And it's nuts here on the island. So we just don't go there.
That's South Padre Island, right?
South Padre Island, yeah. And so, like, we try to go early to the grocery stores and stuff, and you can see these kids with three, four. They've got all the essentials that they need for beach life. Two kids, three shopping carts piled as full as they can get it, full of Busch Light beer on special, and three or four bags of chips. What more do you need for a week?
That's it. I mean, those are the important essentials.
That's how I live.
That's how you live. There you go. See? Steve had just verified
it. Well, Steve's got a new ball hat every day, too, right? So it's actually, you'd like it down here, Steve. There's all kinds of ball hat places to buy, T-shirts, stuff. So anyway, we do kind of
maybe I should send them down there. Spend a bit of time with, spend a bit of time with it.
I do need another vacation.
We haven't been for what, 2 weeks?
For sure.
Yes.
It's been a whole 2 weeks. So what's going on this week? Anything special?
No, just the same old, like probably play golf three or four times and probably go fishing three or four times. And I don't know what we'll do in between that, eat.
Tough, tough. Yeah, tough, man. But it's a problem when you're on assignment like that, right? You can't do anything else. And so you got to fill in the gaps with a little,
so is John
fishing,
actually
a little
back?
Bit of golf.
Yeah, is yeah. John actually yeah, back, yeah. Or is he yeah, ready for back. Another sabbatical?
No, no, no. He's back forward. Now. He's been back for... Go ahead.
I look forward to him rebutting the news stories then. I'm sure he's got to have something to say about it. He's listening right now, of course, getting ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to let us have it. Don't you worry. All right, brother. I'll let you go. You have a great time down there. We will talk to you next week.
Okie doke.
Bradley Schlarf, playing it safe. Retired staff sergeant from the OPP, now our in-house safety expert, vacationing near South Padre Island and south coast of Texas.
Living the life.
Living the life. That's what I want to be when I grow up. Either him or Winters, one of the two. I haven't decided yet. When I grow up, I'm telling you, I've already got it all earmarked.
All set up, ready to go.
Yeah.